The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome in hour two of Old School with you till right at 6. Then we'll get you over to the south side of Chicago. Kansas City Royals. My Kansas City Royals cooled off a little bit in New York. Lost the series to the Mets. Still second place in the AL Central. But they head from Queens to the south side of Chicago to take on the Chicago White Sox, who they mopped recently. For those of you who might not be familiar, obviously, if you win every game of a series, traditionally, it's called a sweep. But I think it's Cespedes Family Barbecue on Twitter that came up with the term mop. So if you sweep or win all four games in a series, instead of calling it a sweep, it's called a mop. So the Royals mopped the White Sox last time they saw them in Kansas City. They head out for a three-game set against the White Sox here starting tonight. They'll be Tuesday and Wednesday as well, off day before hosting Baltimore in Kansas City. Of course, the Royals have already gone out to Baltimore. Bullpen didn't do them any favors there. Royals lost that series 2-1. So curious to see what the birds look like on the road. Text from Noah in Lincoln on the Sartor Hayman text line 402-464-5685. Noah asks, how's the rest of Nebraska baseball season look? Is a tourney run possible? Let me answer your second question first here, Noah. A tourney run isn't just possible. I would say it's probable, and I would absolutely say it's expected. Nebraska baseball, just two weekends ago, was in the conversation, early projections for not just being a regional team, but being one of the top 16 teams in the country and being assigned a regional host berth, which would be awesome. First time since, 2005, 2008, somewhere in there. It's been a long time since Nebraska baseball's hosted a regional. That talk has cooled off. They lost to Creighton. Lost the series to Rutgers this weekend as well, but this should still be an NCAA tournament team. Nebraska is 6-3 in conference right now, still near the top, if not still at the top, depending on tiebreakers with other teams. And Nebraska was the last team in the Big Ten to lose double-digit games. Nebraska has let a few slip through the cracks. I mean, Texas Tech comes to mind. And then Oklahoma as well, the Sooners down to not just their last out, but their last strike. That's a team that's playing some good baseball. Nebraska missed an early season opportunity to win that one. Lost to Creighton as well in there, and the bullpen didn't do Brett Sears any favors on Friday. So Nebraska is still sitting pretty in terms of gaining an NCAA tournament berth. Hosting a regional, though, as tough as it is to say this early on, I mean, not early, but, you know, with still 20-odd games to go, regional hosting is, I assume, out of the picture, unless Nebraska runs the table, looks really impressive doing it, and gets some help. I mean, the rest of the conference is going to have to pick it up and help these games, you know, mean something, which is hard for Big Ten baseball games to matter a lot in the eyes of the selection committee. Take care of business in the non-conference, and then you need SEC teams to cannibalize themselves, ACC teams, Sun Belt, you know, your Dallas Baptists, Rice, teams like that. need to beat up on each other as much as they can if Nebraska wants to backdoor its way into to spot number 15 or 16 hosting. But again, I'm not holding my breath for that. For me, the expectation is make a regional. If you're a two seed, that's fine. That's better than you were last year, obviously not making postseason play. So just get into the tournament and hope you get a good draw from there. As for what the rest of the schedule looks like, Huskers get home and they stay home here for a couple weeks. They take on Creighton at Hawks Field tomorrow night. That'll be a 6:05 first pitch. And then Maryland comes to town this weekend. Maryland, who lost Rob Vaughn, their head coach, to Alabama. But the Terps are actually, responding pretty well. It's always going to be a talented team. After that, Kansas returns the favor. The Jayhawks will come to Lincoln a week from tomorrow. And then the big series that I think a lot of people circled, not just because it's this team, but because of where they were picked, Iowa. So not this weekend, but next weekend, Iowa comes to Haymarket Park. That's the only time the Huskers will see the Hawkeyes. So Iowa's been okay. Iowa's been solid. They faltered a little bit more, and I think people expected them to in the non-conference, and the rotation hasn't lived up to its billing, I don't think. I mean, you think of a guy like Brody Brecht, who stopped playing football to come throw 100 miles an hour, pretty consistently for Iowa. He's been fine, but not picking up quite the headlines. Iowa, I think, was the preseason pick to win the Big Ten. They were definitely in the top four. Not living up to that billing right now, but that's a series at home that Nebraska can't afford to overlook just because they've gotten off to a better start than the Hawkeyes. So welcome Iowa to town in two weekends and take care of business there. From there, you go back to Omaha to take on Creighton. Kansas State will come to Hawks Field then that very next day. Your final conference series come against Minnesota, Indiana, and Michigan State with a lone non-conference game against South Dakota State second week of May. So yeah, everything this team wants to accomplish and attain is on the table for it. I think Iowa needs to pick it up. I think Indiana needs to pick it up. And I think Nebraska, if it takes care of business against Maryland, going to be rooting for the Terps as well to try to boost that RPI and get Nebraska, into a conversation where it's not getting sent to Fayetteville against the number one overall seed when maybe the resume doesn't justify it. What does the resume justify for some of these college basketball teams? Where do they rank in terms of the job? How strong, how good, how desirable are these jobs? I've seen a couple of these lists put out recently. I really think it's worth digging into. So the tweet that I'm looking up is from JBR Bracketology, tweeted out about 8 o'clock Central Time this morning. JBR Bracketology says the tiers are based on a mix of recent success, historical success, recruiting footprint, fan support, and NIL support. Those are the categories here being used to judge these jobs. Let's start at tier one. Let's start at the top. Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, UConn. Any arguments, let me know. 402-464-5685. Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, UConn. Four blue bloods and a new blood in that conversation there for tier one. Carolina makes sense, pretty self-explanatory. Kansas makes sense, self-explanatory. Kentucky, if you haven't seen the videos of Mark Pope's entrance, he had his introductory press conference yesterday, definitely go back and check that out. They got the 1996 Kentucky team that won the national title all on a bus, drove it into Rupp Arena, had the team walk off the bus with Mark Pope last, holding that 1996 championship trophy. And here's another question for you Husker fans. If Nebraska opened an introductory press conference up to fans, held it at Pinnacle Bank Arena for a new football coach or a new men's basketball coach, would you go? Would you go and watch this? I'm genuinely curious. Would you Husker fans go and watch an introductory press conference in person at Pinnacle Bank Arena? Kentucky fans filled it up. They filled Rupp Arena up, 20,000, 22,000. It was essentially a sellout at Rupp Arena for the introductory press conference for Mark Pope. And that's just another great reminder that social media is not reality. The hire wasn't panned on social media. It wasn't a lot of backlash necessarily, just a lot of meh. Okay. Mark Pope is a good coach. His records have been right in line with what the guy before him did at the previous jobs at Utah Valley and then at BYU. Mark Pope didn't win a tournament game, either Utah Valley or BYU. And I believe he's under 500 even in conference tournaments. So the social media reaction from Kentucky Twitter, such as it is, was pretty muted, kind of a raised eyebrow. Really, you went to this guy and you went to him this quick. How much due diligence did you actually do? But then Kentucky fans show up 22,000 strong in support of this guy at his opening press conference. I mean, talk about a roar of the crowd. That whole 96 team getting off the bus, welcomed with open arms, admired. And then here comes Mark Pope. I mean, big guy, good personality, beaming ear to ear, holding up the championship trophy. Huge roar. So, no, social media is not reality. But I was still very impressed with the response of Kentucky fans there. 2312 asks, had they done it for Scott Frost, Pinnacle Bank Arena would have been full. That's fair. Yes, I think Pinnacle Bank Arena would have been bursting at the seams to see Scott Frost introduced, especially if it was a weekend, right? So many of these introductory press conferences are held on weekdays, but I think holding it on a weekend and opening it up to the fans, absolutely incredible idea. And one of my buddies who's a big Kentucky fan, has some ties back there, was saying that it's hard for him to imagine Kentucky reclaiming the mantle anytime soon of the cool program in college basketball. Mark Pope's going to be good, going to be solid, he thinks, but maybe not as, you know, awe-inspiring or appealing to nearly as many, you know, five-star players like Coach Calipari has been bringing in for Kentucky. But to really make Kentucky a program of the fans, by the fans, you know, for the fans, a lot of fan service going on. Like I said, bringing out that whole 1996 team, walking them off the bus, holding the trophy, scheduling Rick Pitino in St. John's for a home and home over the next couple years. I think Kentucky's doing a pretty good job. I don't say saving face. That's harsh. Of boosting their guy, of making it look good. The optics are absolutely there. And again, a great reminder that social media is not reality. Back to the tiers list here. Jordan P. on the text line. Those other four not named UConn got to make something happen soon because UConn has owned the last 30 and through a bunch of coaching changes. Yeah, that's pretty much it, Jordan. I mean, UConn essentially has 26 years of basketball history. Maybe 30 if you want to round up. Won the title in 99. And five more since that. Six titles since 1999. It's hard to win a national title in college, well, in any sport, but in men's college basketball, just with the nature of March Madness, getting matchups and whatnot. And UConn has had its fair share of ups and downs throughout the time, which is why I'm not completely sold on UConn as a blue blood. You know, clearly six titles in 25 years at least gets you in the conversation. I mean, boatloads of NBA talent. Jim Calhoun is, you know, an underrated all-time great coach. But if you look at those other jobs up there, Carolina recruits itself. Kansas recruits itself. Duke recruits itself. Kentucky recruits itself. UConn's in the middle of nowhere. UConn.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I think UConn men's basketball is what Oregon football always wanted to be. The hip, cool program that got a bunch of resources poured into it at one point and really took off. So you look at what Jim Calhoun did, pretty darn successful. Kevin Ollie took over and won two national titles. Also missed the NCAA tournament multiple times. And part of that was the move to the American Conference, but UConn didn't dominate the American Conference at all. They move back to the Big East. Dan Hurley comes in. It takes him, you know, a couple years to get up and rolling. But guys, the last team to beat UConn in the NCAA tournament was New Mexico State, who was led by Teddy Allen. Think about that. Teddy Buckets beat UConn. He's the last man to beat UConn in an NCAA tournament. Just wild to think about. UConn definitely gets points for the recent success. Recruiting footprint, I'll give them credit for being there in the New York, Boston, you know, DC, I think you can count as a UConn recruiting area kind of footprint. And having Dan Hurley there, you know, with those regional ties, I'll give them credit for that. They need to be like tier 1B. The other four jobs I think are very clearly tier 1A, you know, four best jobs in all of college basketball. UConn is over the last 30 years, but historically, I'm not sold. A team that's not in tier 1 that I thought would have been a slam dunk is UCLA. Talk about recruiting footprint. Talk about historical success. And even their recent success, they haven't, you know, fallen off to the degree that UConn has in UConn's worst years. UCLA might have the most and best history of any, you know, college basketball program. And for them to be tier 2 alongside Michigan, Ohio State, Texas, Arizona? No, I don't believe that. So the rest of tier 2 then is Louisville, Michigan State, Villanova, and Indiana in that conversation. And we welcome Jay Foreman back in here, going over tiers of college basketball coaching jobs here, Jay. I know we were having this discussion in the back room a little bit.
Yeah.
Tier 2, Arizona, Michigan State, Michigan, Texas, Louisville, Ohio State, UCLA, Indiana, Villanova. Any of those too high? Any of those too low?
I think UCLA is a little bit too high.
Really?
Now, where they're at right now.
Yeah.
Like, legacy-wise, I could almost put those in tier 1. Mm-hmm. Tier 1 being, you know, super blue blood. I think right now they're still trying to feel their way, you know, consistency. But I like UCLA. I think they're a strong 2. Villanova, I think you get smokescreened by the recent success of Jay Wright, you know, so I think they're probably on the lower end of a 2, possibly a 3. The thing that really hurts them is the recruiting and then obviously the size of the school, so and the conference that they're playing in, because that now everybody's, you know, up in their level, and they're almost like a East Coast version of Creighton. But Creighton is more the it team right now, right? Just because of how good they've been. So Indiana
and UCLA are similar, but I feel like history has been much kinder to UCLA. And even recently, UCLA's made Final Fours like in the mid-2000s, and then again, you know, made that run just a couple of years ago.
Even. Yeah, they did. So, I mean, I think UCLA is definitely in a better position than Indiana. I think Indiana is still in good footing with Mike Woodson. I think people were a little surprised you brought him back, but they obviously – I always call it revisionist short-term memory that, you know, you just lost a lottery pick, you know, and then, you know, their team was very young. So I think they're in good standing. The problem is Mike Woodson is a little bit long in the tooth, so he's not going to – you can't think 5-10 years down the road. So who the replacement is probably gives them – I would push them more to a 3 for sure. But, you know, college basketball is changing. When you think – just thinking about this, John Calipari left Kentucky, some willingly nudged out.
Wasn't a gun to his head, at least.
Yeah, took the phone call. It doesn't matter if he had some issues with the athletic department or athletic director, and then with the fans or whatever. He's dealt with fans from UMass to the Nets to obviously Kentucky
to
Memphis, obviously, you know. Choking away that national championship to go to Arkansas is
listed as the tier 3 job here, which that's being off.
That's a tier 3 job with him there.
Yeah,
without him there, with the way this year went with Musselman, they're a weak 3, average 4 in my playbook because of just look at their conference that they're in. Kentucky, Auburn, Tennessee, Bama. You got to think
Florida's got some
Florida,
history.
Florida, just this year, right? Florida. You got to think eventually Georgia's going to get there.
LSU's popped up here and there.
Texas. Oklahoma. Missouri, I think, would even, you know, and that's a big rivalry, Missouri, Arkansas. So I would probably lean more towards like Missouri, right? With Porter.
Well, you got more talent there, right. St. Louis and KC, right. Chicago.
And you're right, and more. And so now you think this is the way college basketball has changed. Mm-hmm. And if John Calipari can make them a legitimate player, it changes the whole landscape of do the original blue bloods get the benefit of the doubt anymore?
And that to me is another fascinating conversation to have, because UConn, I'm willing to give blue blood status, but it's begrudging because they really only have 25 years of basketball history,
but it's a really impressive 25 years.
But here's my bigger point, Jay. Blue bloods, when you look at it, whether it's college basketball or college football, haven't changed in a long time, right? Programs rise and fall, but the original initial group of blue bloods that we think about, like let's go to college football here for this. Notre Dame. When's the last time they won a title? Been a while. Oklahoma, you know, popped up in the college football playoff, but hasn't won a title since 2001.
Yeah.
You look at Ohio State. Okay, deservedly so. Michigan. Been just forever since they won a title.
Yeah.
We, as a sports society, determined blue bloods back in the 1980s.
Yeah.
And that group of teams is still who's considered blue bloods in sports. Like, we haven't really adjusted that club over the last 30 or 40 years.
No, we haven't. And we're in as much as people don't want a devil in the past, when it comes to blue bloods, we're knee deep in the past. We won't let it go. Mm-hmm. UConn, to me, is a blue blood. I mean, you got to think from Jim Calhoun, and then you go to Kevin Ollie, and then you got, you know, Dan Hurley.
Ollie missed the tournament as often as he won a title.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's Ollie, you know, whether you believe he was justified in being fired or justified not being fired. Obviously, the courts thought he was unjustly fired. Look at blue bloods, the stability in coaching. Because that's the way you become a blue blood.
Yeah.
This is what hurts Indiana. The way that the tenure of Bobby Knight ended, and then just the constant turnover, right? Even with the whole, now let's think of it now, the stupid thing with Calvin Sampson made a phone call like a day or two during a so-called dead period.
And he's wearing a scarlet letter the rest of his career
right,
for it.
Right, and got jettisoned down to Houston, per se. But there's been constant turnover at Indiana, a blue blood. That's why I moved them down. Whereas like UConn, it's been Jim Calhoun, Kevin Ollie, Dan Hurley. That's it. And they're rolling. It has not changed. And, you know, teams like North Carolina, you know, where, you know, last year they were number one seed, you know, number one in the team in the nation, end up not making the tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think blue bloods sometimes lose their luster when you have some locker room issues, because then the tradition and let's call them the bylaws of what made them a blue blood are gone.
Yeah.
And that's why UCLA is the outlier. I think they have more recent history. But the Cronin, before Cronin, it was bad.
They were wandering.
Right. They're just out there in the abyss, just trying to tread water. Now they're on more stable ground, but you got to think, look at Louisville. Right? When they had Mac. I mean, they were there. And then next thing you know, it just seems like as fast as he was there, and it's like they went warp speed to the top. Mm-hmm. Lost that game to Duke.
Up 23.
To Zion. Mm-hmm. And Zion, that's when Zion was where you're like, this dude can be the next iconic superstar. He had the one name, right? I always look at it. Jordan, LeBron, you know, Isaiah, Magic, Bird, you know.
Steph,
all Zion had it, and that's where you got the best version of him, and that ended Mac's career, and he's an excellent coach.
Yeah.
And they kind of, you know, spiraled after that. We'll see what they're doing now. That's a blue blood.
Let me ask you this. Better basketball job, Michigan State or Syracuse?
Michigan State. I think you just got a better pool of players.
But is Michigan State a basketball school or a football school?
That's a hard question.
I know.
That's a very hard question. I think it changes year to year, year to year, or every 4 years.
Right.
It's a basketball school. Mm. The Magic Man went there.
He did.
The Magic Man went there and Draymond there. So you got to give it. Mateen Cleaves. They've had some great football teams, but I think it's a basketball school. It is a basketball school. It's a hard nose. It's a blue collar. We hate the wine and cheese Michigan. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the common folk against the corporate guy. It's definitely a basketball school.
How many more years does Izzo have?
As many as he wants.
Five?
How long do you...
Okay, he has as many as he wants, but how many more? Four?
I'm going for even
more class?
Yes. Well, my man said he what his statement was, I have to find a way to get back to where I want to be. Mm-hmm. He's motivated more than 1 year. He's in the lab right now. This is the great thing about evaluating himself, his program, his coaches, the type of player to where he needs to be. He's probably going to be more open to NIL than he's ever been. Watch out for Tom Izzo. Watch out for the man that walks 3.5 miles while he coaches. I saw it on an ESPN thing. 3.5 miles again.
Sports science, baby.
Yeah, I like it, man. I mean, he's one of my favorite coaches of all time. I think he gets the most out of his players. I love the way he plays or coaches. I love the way his teams play.
Did you visit Michigan State and meet Judd Heathcote?
I was there for football.
Right. You didn't see Judd walking around?
No.
Ah.
That was hard to say. Nick Saban, it was my dad knew he was gone.
Yeah.
Eventually. He's obviously too good of a coach. So I love the campus though. Great, beautiful campus. Not so much East Lansing. No offense for anybody out there from East Lansing.
Right. Let's take a break. Speaking of Michigan State, Draymond Green. How about that? The Warriors 10 sneak into the NBA playoffs. Yeah. See if we have some discussion on that next. All right.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and J on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.